Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Emory-Riddle Aeronautical University's Worldwide Campus, offering a range of online programs that allow students to earn a degree in aviation, engineering, business, and beyond from anywhere. More at erau.edu/ww.
I'm Sharon Stone. This is Engage. Electric mobility devices like e-bikes and e-scooters are small, low-speed transportation devices powered by electricity. With just about a month left until students across Central Florida head back to school, Orange County Public Schools Superintendent Maria Vasquez recently spoke about possible new restrictions on campus.
As many of you are aware, we have seen an increase in the number of scooters and e-bikes in our schools, causing some concern, especially around safety. We had one student that tragically died as a result of an accident involving a scooter, and another one that was seriously injured.
The conversation comes as communities across Central Florida are grappling with how the vehicles fit into public spaces. We've all seen them on sidewalks, on trails, and even moving in and out of traffic, sometimes in some not-so-safe ways. I stopped by Eccentric Cycle, an electric bike and scooter store and repair shop in Orlando, to understand more about what makes these vehicles different. It looks like a typical bicycle store when you walk in. Bikes and scooters are lined up in rows for people to browse. People are in the back making repairs for customers. But if you look closer, these aren't the push scooters or mountain bikes many people ride. Octavio Hoyos owns this store and says business is great.
On average, every single year, we've seen an increase from 20 to 30% every year.
Who is your customer? Who walks through the doors? Is it adults? Is it seniors, students?
All. Basically all. You have from all walks of life, students that their parents, they can't take them to school. That's one. Then we have a customer that don't have any means to buy a vehicle, a car, and they buy an e-bike or e-scooter to get to work back and forth. Then you have the avid rider that they just want to go out and go on a trail and, you know, just have fun with the family.
That was Octavio Hoyos, the owner of Eccentric Cycle in Orlando. For many riders, it's about convenience. As more people ride them, law enforcement agencies face new challenges. Ocoee Police Chief Vincent Ogburn spoke before city commissioners last week about an uptick in the number of incidents involving the vehicles.
Prohibited acts of what we've been seeing around Ocoee is wheelies on public roadways, racing on a public roadways, operating while impaired, operating on environmentally sensitive or private property, meaning your parks with your turf and they tearing them up, stunt riding on public roadway.
At that meeting, commissioners in Ocoee passed an ordinance regulating micromobility vehicles that encompasses e-bikes, e-scooters, and some e-motorcycles. The challenges are not limited to city streets. Orange County Public School leaders held a workshop to review recommendations for regulating the vehicles on campus. Some members of the board expressed support for a total ban. No action was taken at the work session last Tuesday. But school board members asked about policy recommendations from safety and emergency management officials for the district.
I'm looking at the recommendations. How many accidents do we see on Class 3 e-bikes? Do we have that information?
There's no real significant data because no one's tracking it.
Okay. I mean, do we know if those are bikes that our students are typically riding?
What we've seen that we are aware of is more on scooters than e-bikes.
Okay. You know, one of the recommendations is to not allow Class 3 e-bikes, but it sounds like they're not really even a major issue right now on our campuses.
The reason we made that recommendation is those bikes do over 28 miles or up to 28 miles an hour, so we're trying to limit the speed. The challenge with all these devices is that you can't, with the naked eye, determine what the wattage is. So, like, for instance, I was in BJ's and they were selling a scooter that was 1,200 watts. So that definitely is going to go over 20 miles an hour. But there's nothing on these devices that can signal that, oh, that's a class one, that's a class three, because if they have pedals, it could be any one of those three.
Yeah.
right? Okay. Unless it's an e-motorcycle.
Okay.
And then the scooters, they're even different.
In Florida, e-bikes are divided into three classes based on max speed and how the motor works. The nonprofit Bike Walk Central Florida works to create a more connected and equitable transportation system. Their executive director, Emily Bush, says they've worked with schools and community partners to teach young people about safety at in-school presentations, bike rodeos, and helmet-fitting events. In addition to students, she's also seeing more older adults turning to micromobility, too. Bush says one of the big challenges is confusion over the difference between legal e-bikes and higher-powered electric motorcycles that look similar.
Anything that's beyond, say, 750 watts of power, anything that doesn't have pedals, it might look like a bike, but maybe looks more like a motorcycle, is not an e-bike. That is an e-moto. We even don't even put it under the definition of a micromobility device, because a micromobility device is like a small seated scooter that you would see in a downtown urban setting. But some of these more souped up e-bikes that you see are more of these e-moto type devices that are really unregulated, are being sold on Amazon and Walmart. And that's what we're seeing, is a lot of these middle school, high school students kind of on these devices that aren't really designed to be out on our roadways. And they're being called e-bikes. And that's not really fair to the proper e-bikes and the people that use them as they should within our streets and trails.
Can you think of any advice for parents who might think that they're buying something safe online for their kids, but they end up with one of these models that does a lot more than maybe they realize? Like, how do you educate yourself on what you're getting?
Yeah, that's a great question, and something that we actually get asked quite a bit at Bike Walk. So my advice, first and foremost, would be don't buy anything online. Go to a bike shop, first and foremost. They'll service your e-bike. And so if anything goes wrong with it, you're not going to be able to get it serviced from an online provider most of the time. So go to a reputable bike shop, ask questions about what's appropriate, and make sure not just getting the bicycle, but getting the appropriate gear. You know, it's a requirement in the state of Florida for anyone 16 and under to wear a helmet. And so some of those helmets that we get for kids that you would think might be for a basic bicycle are not geared or set up for an e-bike because they go faster, and therefore that fall is harder. Make sure that you get the safety gear that's supported for that device that you're getting.
Are you seeing more people riding e-bikes, e-scooters than you were a few years ago?
Absolutely. They serve a greater audience than just, say, your Segways from like the 2000 era, right? And so now the youth like them. They're able to hop on these things and get to parks or to schools or to the friend's house versus walking, taking a regular bicycle, which nowadays might be boring, right? Or waiting on their mom or parent or guardian, right, to take them to the place they need to go. So it gives them that sense of independence, which is why I think we've seen an uptick in them recently. I see almost kind of like two kind of sets of population shifts and growth of use in two different types of devices. So the e-bike really kind of exploded more for our senior population that allows them to use that for recreation and transportation. It allows them to be able to go farther, exercise, and be able to exercise and kind of keep pace with maybe some of their friends who might be younger or better agility or ability. So it gives them more of a sense of independence and freedom. Kind of the same arguments that you would say for somebody in middle school, but they're just getting that independence and freedom, right? So they're exploring a little bit more.
Do you think Central Florida is ready for this, for e-bikes and e-scooters?
Yes and no. I think there are places in Central Florida that are ready. I think the communities have invested in their trail system a decade plus ago. Seminole and Orange County, City of Orlando, City of Apopka, you know, have, I think, a leg up. Winter Garden is a great example, right? I mean, I think you can list any and all trail towns that really exist in Central Florida and how they've really leveraged and utilized and thought about that infrastructure and how it relates to economic development, to recreation, and other things. I think what we lack is two things. One, the places for children to go and learn about balance and ride these bicycles and just, you know, We tell them not to be in the street. We don't want them on their phones, right? Then we get them out in the streets on these devices that are the devices of today, and then we tell them not to be in the road. So where are they going to go? I think an excellent example of a city answering and addressing this question is the city of Castleberry and their Wheel Park that they just built off of Winter Park Drive. It's two phases. One is kind of a smaller, youth, more focused kind of traffic garden. So it's got kind of small streets. It's a controlled park space, really, where the kids can experience how to balance, how to navigate without having to go out and do so on a city street. On the other side of that park is a full skate park, pump track designed for older kids, adults to be able to recreate, if you will, and to be able to use devices, electrified or not, to have fun, which, again, I think we need to build more of those spaces, not just for the transportation side, but also to encourage the recreation side.
So what do you think the next steps are? Is it more education? Is it rules, like putting in speed limits, or is it looking at road designs?
It's a combination of all those things. There has to be a balance of education and enforcement and the design of the infrastructure that helps support the education and the enforcement. And so all three of those big pillars, I think, are pretty critical in this space. And we really need to address that from those three perspectives. And each one is doing so somewhat in isolation. We are starting to work a little bit more together. We have been in the Central Florida region, but now more so on the state side. We were hoping to kind of being forced that through the task force that was going to be created from the micromobility bill that was recently vetoed by the governor. So now the state, through a few coalitions, are trying to build kind of what model language looks like for a community, how to essentially have the same rules and responsibilities across multiple jurisdictions. So it's not, for example, the city of Ocoee has rules now on their sidewalks for, 10 miles per hour, whereas Winter Garden has 15, right? So, just trying to create some synergy and some similarity between all of these kind of rules of the road. We have speed limits and things that are enforced on our roadways. Those change regularly, but we don't necessarily have that on our trails or the infrastructure that we use for these devices. So really emphasizing, I think, that, and then allowing the education to accompany the infrastructure and the enforcement that goes along and continue to reinforce that message. The more that we have community feedback, the more that we talk about this issue as a community, the more likely we are to find solutions that I think fit everybody, including our seniors and our middle schoolers, right? And I think we will find those solutions. I think it's going to take time. And in the meantime, I think we have to work as a community to make sure that everybody gets home safely at the end of the day.
Emily Bush is Executive Director of Bike Walk Central Florida. Engage is a production of Central Florida Public Media. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Richard Copeland is our senior producer. I'm Sharon Stone. You can reach us anytime with questions, comments, or story ideas. Send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Thanks for listening.